no doubt, nearly every piano or instrumental student has asked at one time or another, why do I have to practice my scales and chords? They're so boring. The more we understand about music, the greater enjoyment we can receive from it. It's just like your car out in the garage. If you have a license and you know how to run that car, then you can have a lot of fun with that car. The more we understand about that car, the greater enjoyment we can receive from it. And the more we understand about music, the greater enjoyment we can receive from it. So, let's begin our discussion of why I get to practice those marvelous scales and chords. Listen carefully as you hear how the great composers have used scales and chords to create beautiful pieces of music. Because when this tape is finished, you will be challenged to compose your own pieces using scales and chords. Music is made up of patterns. Patterns of rhythm, patterns of melody, patterns of accompaniment, and patterns of harmony. Patterns of cadences, and patterns of pulse. And the list could go on and on with all the different patterns that music is made up of. The better you have these patterns down, the faster you can learn new pieces. The better you have these patterns down, the better you can sight read. The better you have these patterns down, the easier it is to memorize. Why, I'll bet we could come up with as many advantages of learning the patterns of music as there are patterns themselves. Let's take one of these patterns and analyze how they work in music. Let's take patterns of melody. Two of the most common patterns of melody are scales and having the melody outline chords. For example, let's take a very familiar Christmas carol, Joy to the World. The music to this carol was written by the famous Baroque composer George Frederick Handel. You will learn more about him on another tape. Right now, let's just listen to his carol. Did you hear the pattern in the melody? It starts out by going straight down the scale. Then it continues by going back up the scale. Then it goes down the scale two more times. The melody then plays around in the middle of the scale before closing with another downward or descending scale. Now listen to the whole thing. See if you can count how many times you hear Handel using a scale pattern for his melody. How many scales or portions of a scale did you hear in that song? In that one short little Christmas carol, Handel used a scale 5 times. 5 times! And if you already knew the D major scale, you would be able to learn that song very quickly because it was a familiar pattern. Now, some of you listening to this tape may be saying, well, sure, Brad, you're just trying to trick me into feeling good about practicing my scales. You probably searched for hours to find one that had that many scales. But can you find any others? Can I find any others? Can I find any others? Boy, can I. Let's start in the Baroque period, when keyboard music became popular. Let's take Bach with his prelude. Listen particularly toward the end, how he goes up and down the keyboard with all these marvelous, fast scales. Here's a scale. Another one. Another. And here's many more. Kind of exciting, isn't it? And here's a Passacaglia by George Friedrich Handel. Listen again toward the end as he uses scales cleverly. Moving on now to the classic period with Mozart, we have his famous Sonata in C Major. Moving along to the Romantic period, we find a beautiful piece of music by Robert Schumann called Butterflies, or Papillons. First of all, Robert Schumann starts out with a D major scale. As a matter of fact, this entire piece is almost made up entirely of the D major scale. First, he starts out with a D major scale, starting on the fifth degree of the scale, going up and down, like this. Then he starts on the sixth degree of the scale and goes up and down. Finally, Schumann finishes this first section of his Butterflies by just going straight up the D major scale. Now let's listen to this famous composer of the Romantic period as Butterflies is played. Another famous composer of the Romantic period, Frédéric Chopin, used a D-flat major scale to compose a famous waltz in D-flat. Chopin's use of the D-flat major scale, going up and down and all around, has delighted music lovers for generations. Sometime after Chopin composed this fast little waltz, someone nicknamed it the Minute Waltz. It wasn't long before the name turned into a goal, and people felt they had to play it in 1 minute or less. As a matter of fact, some colleges and music schools required their piano students to play the Minute Waltz in 1 minute or less as a part of their school examinations years ago. Then some music colleges had to come along and spoil everyone's fun by announcing that they had done some research and they could not find any evidence that Chopin wanted that little waltz played in 1 minute. Fast, yes, but not in 1 minute. However, when you learn that D-flat major scale really well, shut the window, pull down the shades, lock the door to make sure no musicologists or piano teachers are listening, and then have a great time playing those scales in the minute waltz as fast as you would like. Maybe if you work hard on your scales and work with your metronome and your teacher, you could play it in a minute or less. Here it is, folks, the Minute Waltz by Chopin featuring that great D-flat major scale. Another pattern of melody is chords. Melodies often outline chords. When the notes of a chord are played together, it's called a blocked chord. It sounds like this. That was a blocked chord. When a chord is broken up or played one note at a time, it is called a broken chord. A broken chord sounds like this. Blocked chord. Broken chord. Composers often use broken chords to create melodies. Listen to this piece by Jean-Philippe Rameau, another Baroque composer. It is made almost entirely of broken chords. And when he isn't using a broken chord for his melody, guess what he uses? That's right, he uses scales. First of all, let's listen to this piece and see what it sounds like if he had just played it with chords, blocked chords. Not very interesting, was it? Now let's break up those chords and see what it sounds like. This is the same piece with broken chords. ¶¶ Hundreds of thousands of pieces use melodies that are made up of scales and chords. Listen to this famous one that you'll probably study someday if you haven't already. It's called Solfeggiero by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, the son of the great Johann Sebastian Bach. This piece is played almost entirely one note at a time, with almost every note coming from a broken chord or scale. Before we listen to it the way Carl wrote it, first let's see what it would sound like if Carl had not broken the chords to bits, turning them into melody. Now let's listen to Solfeggiero the way Carl originally intended it to be played, with the chords broken to bits. Another very famous piece that uses broken chords for both melody and accompaniment is the famous Ocean Waves Etude by the famous pianist and composer of the Romantic period, Frédéric Chopin. Frédéric Chopin died in 1840. Let's dissect this piece and see what makes it tick. Chopin first started with a melody that sounded like this. Not too exciting yet, is it? But then he made the melody note the bottom note of each chord in the piece, like this. Then Chopin broke the chords up so that all together it would sound like this. Still hear the melody in there? Da, da, da. Now Chopin triples the speed for a real joy ride. It's a wonderfully exciting piece. It makes you want to get up and practice those chords, arpeggios, and scales. Who needs a fast car for thrills when there's Chopin to play on the piano? Now let's listen to the whole thing. Remember, listen for the melody in the bottom note of each broken chord. Dum, bum, 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 bum. See if you can hear why this piece was nicknamed Rolling Waves. Thank you. In addition to the blocked chord accompaniments, composers will often use broken chord accompaniments, as you just heard in the Ocean Waves prelude. One very famous type of broken chord accompaniment is called the Alberti bass. The Alberti bass sounds like this. We have already listened to a piece that uses the Alberti bass. It was Mozart's Sonata in C major. Now let's listen to it again. This time, listen to how Mozart uses broken chords in the accompaniment. You will also hear some blocked chords as Mozart plays simple scales for the melody. Toward the end of the first section, you will hear both hands playing broken chords, somewhat like Chopin's Ocean Waves etude. Mozart's Sonata in C major. Another common accompaniment of the 18th and 19th centuries was the rolled chord accompaniment. A rolled chord sounds like this. Now listen to how a rolled chord accompaniment is used by Franz Joseph Haydn, a contemporary of Mozart, in this delightful sonata in C major. That is a fun piece of music. Another fun piece of music is by the 20th century composer Ernst Toch. We've been talking about chordal accompaniments in the bass with the melodies in the right hand. In this piece called The Juggler, we hear an example of music that has the melody played in the left hand while the chordal accompaniment is used in the right hand. Listen carefully and see if you can hear when Toch changes from a blocked chord accompaniment to a broken chord accompaniment, or uses the melody as a broken chord. Can you hear when or if he changes back again? Thank you. I hope that you're beginning to see the importance of learning your scales and chords. I remember as a young boy going to a performance of a musical play. For some reason, there was a delay in getting the play started. I don't remember what the reason was, but I do remember a man coming out and saying that during the delay, he would sing a few songs to entertain the audience while the actors were getting ready. I was sitting up front, close to the pianist, so I could hear a conversation that the rest of the audience was not able to hear. After the man announced that he would sing a few songs, he walked over to the pianist and asked if he knew this certain song. The pianist said, "No, I've never heard of that one, but just sing it anyway and I'll accompany you." I can still remember sitting there and watching the pianist as he made up a beautiful accompaniment to a song that he had never heard before. The reason he was able to do that was because he knew his scales and chords. He also had a very well-trained sense of inner hearing. The pianist was a very gifted college student. Since that time, I have seen many other pianists invent piano accompaniments on the spot to songs that they had never heard before. Again, as you study your scales and chords, you will be a better sight reader. You will be able to increase the amount of music you will learn. You will be able to decrease the amount of time it takes you to learn a piece, too. You will be able to memorize a piece faster and more carefully. Your fingers will become skilled and capable of many other things. As you learn your scales, make sure your fingering is exact. Don't guess. Know what finger you are to use, and then use it. You may want to practice hands separately and then together. Whatever you do, follow what your teacher says exactly as you learn your scales. Slow, careful practice will enable you to play them faster. On the tape called Introduction to Hannon, you will learn some techniques that will enable you to learn to play your scales quickly, cleanly, and accurately. If you're listening to this tape while you wait for your teacher, take out one of your piano books in the time remaining and see how many of your pieces are composed by using scales and chords. See if you can find broken chords in the melody or bass. See how many scales you can find. I hope that listening to the pieces that you heard on this tape will encourage you to begin thinking about and planning to learn your chords and scales and arpeggios very well so that you can become a more advanced player. The more advanced you become at playing the piano, the more wonderful the experience of playing, sharing, and listening to music becomes. In the back of your musical Wonderful Music, Magic of Inner Hearing book is some blank music paper. Use it to write a piano piece of your own that uses broken chords and scales. It doesn't have to be a very long piece, but make the piece as good as you can. Show it to your teacher next week when you're finished with it. Be creative and have fun composing. Ah, those marvelous scales, arpeggios, and chords. Worth the work. This tape is fully protected under the copyright laws of the United States of America. Any reproduction in whole or in part is illegal. For more information concerning tapes offered by Music Wonderful Music, please write Music Wonderful Music, 289 East, 500 South, Heber City, Utah, 84032.